This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number two of the show kicks off right now on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. You know how we always like to take care of the peeps, Barry, the suspects. Like to keep them in a good mood when we can.
Yes.
So with that, we're going to give away some tickets right here. ESPN 97.5 and the Skeeters, the Sugarland Skeeters, want to send you to the game this Saturday against the York Revolution. Country music artist Corey Morrow will play a concert following the game. So it will be a hours packed full of fun and entertainment. You know, if you bring the family, there's so many things for the kids to do out there. We'll take caller number 11 right now, 713-780-3776. Caller 11, 713-780-ESPN. You get a family four-pack to the game this Saturday, which includes the concert. And if you don't win them, tickets are available, sugarlandskeeters.com.
Good luck!
There you go. Courtney does, but okay.
Huh?
Courtney. Special requests all the time, but you're her favorite, so whatever.
Oh, well. She's smart. That's why.
No. She's blind.
That's
okay.
This is radio. She listens.
She walks the hallways.
What does that have to do with me being her favorite on radio?
She sees y'all's ugly faces. That's why.
Oh, and here we go the peanut gallery chiming in.
Yeah, she is blind.
Hey, by the way,
does looked have to do with?
By the way, our comedian of the week's coming up. We'll have a 10-second clip at 3:15 if we get a chance. So stay tuned for that. Yeah. Should be no problem getting that one on.
Yeah, today.
Look,
might
there was
not
a punchline in that. No. There was a punchline in that clip.
No, today
there was a joke in that
today
clip.
Today would probably be the wrong day to take shots. with the beginning that you had to the show. Yeah. You might want to be on your best behavior today.
Tell me there wasn't a joke in this.
No,
tell me there wasn't a
there
joke
wasn't.
In this.
Hey, guys, I'm married. Hot! What?
Yes, I just got married. Just got married.
That was it. That's all you played.
And you go hot.
You went hot.
And I said hot.
No.
Nope.
You did. No.
I'm with Barry.
And then he was like, Barry changed it. He's like, oh, screw this up. I got to blame Barry somehow.
I never do. I usually just take the blame. I really thought it said 19 seconds. I don't care.
Sorry.
I love messing your stuff up anyway.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Trust me. I know. You're a hater.
No doubt.
Always out to make me look like the fool.
So, Astros Red Sox tonight.
Yeah.
Three-game series. Uh-huh. Marcello and Cole in the opener. So, the Red Sox will not see Verlander. A lot of people all jacked up about this because obviously it's the first time the two teams have met since the American League Championship Series a year ago. But really, it's just another series. And the Red Sox will be here in another week or so. But it's a nice barometer to see where they're at in terms of if they can keep this momentum going with as hot as the Astros have been. And the Red Sox are obviously playing better baseball. But I don't put as much stock into it as others. But I'm interested to see like Gerrit Cole go up against that lineup.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm not, I don't know, I want to be more passionate about a day-to-day, you know, game or series, but this is, like, you're watching the Tigers and you're like, okay, I'm just watching this because it's sports and there's nothing on, but I'm with you, being able to see them against a team that's figured it out a little bit in Boston, now they're 8-2 in their last 10 and they're starting to put up some runs. I mean, they've scored the most in the East for sure, so that's the best offense in the East, but only because New York has been banged up so bad. But it's gonna be interesting to see. Do you think that this is the barometer of where they're at?
No,
because I would say no too, because you look at how bad they played early against the Rays and how well they're playing now. So that you can't really take that as a barometer. I think if they played the Rays now, it'd be a lot different.
And again, even with the Yankees, I mean, they took care of business against the Yankees, but the bottom line was that wasn't the Yankees. That was a shell of what you will see the Yankees be by the end of the season, assuming that most all those guys return from injury, with the exception of Andujar, who went under the knife and is going to miss the entire season. But you expect to see Stanton and Judge and all those guys back. That's when you would have more of a barometer.
Yeah.
That, to me, was just taking care of business. And that's what I want to see them do this weekend, too. Just continue to, you know, improve the road record, keep rolling through, just stay as hot as you've been with an 8-in-a-row going into the game tonight, and just keep the train moving. Other than that, I'm not going to read too much into it. It's just another series in May.
Yeah.
When the season is as long as it is.
I'm starting to see a lot of people clamoring for Yordan Alvarez to be called up. And
I saw his numbers, right?
Oh, yeah. His numbers this year are ridiculous. He's got 17 home runs, 53 RBIs. His OPS is 1.4 over 36 games, 36 runs in 36 games. Like, it's just his numbers are off the charts. And that's outstanding. And people are like, no, you need to bring him up now and sit Tyler White. Send Tyler White down. And while I'm not opposed to sending Tyler White down, here's the problem with bringing up Yordan Alvarez is to he's an outfielder. Now, Chandler Rome did say that they have started putting him at first base. He's getting reps at first base now, which is a sign that he's probably going to get some time there, and Yuli can DH some as well, and they can split some time and do whatever. Because Yordan Alvarez, is for the most part, is an outfielder. And who are you going to sit in this outfield?
You're not.
You're not. You're gonna take away at bats from any of your starting outfielders to give a guy who has only done it at the minor league level. You're not gonna disrespect Reddick or Springer or Brantley and take away at bats from them. So you gotta have a spot, and Tyler White is the DH. So that's your spot, right? Now, do you want to bring up a guy and basically stunt his growth? All he does is four at bats a game, and that's it. No defense, nothing in the field. I think that's a slippery slope.
Here's the thing: if they were struggling, I would consider it more.
Sure, if one of the outfielders was.
Sure, and they really needed offense, but they don't need offense. They don't need pop with all the numbers we were talking about, and you just mentioned with the home runs and everything. With as good as the Astros are hitting the ball right now and hitting for power, all those things are not a big concern. Right. So I feel you. I'm with you.
What's wrong with letting this guy continue to flourish and get seasoning and get better? I mean, the more reps he gets, he's at AAA now. The more reps he's going to get, the better he's going to be. Because I tell you what. This goes one of two ways. He comes up and he's Derek Fisher, Kyle Tucker, or Tyler White, or he comes up and he's George Springer, Carlos Correa, and Alex Bregman. And if you look at their numbers across the board, all these guys put up similar numbers. I mean, he's off the charts right now, hitting 400 and an OPS of 1.4. He's going to cool off, I promise you. Mm-hmm. His numbers are going to come down some, and it's a big difference to face AAA pitching where the numbers across the board are way up because of the baseballs. They started using Major League Baseball as a AAA or in the minors. So offensive numbers across the board are way up because the ball's juiced. So it's going to be different when you're facing pitchers that are never going to crack a Major League system and you come up and it's all Major League pitching. So again, start a service clock now to DH? I think that's a bad move.
But what about this? What about if you move Yuli to the DH and you let him play first base? The only thing I say is it hurts your defense.
But he's never, he's never really played. And the first time he has a two-error game and gives up a runs and costs them a game, now you got a kid up here who, you know, let him spend another 3, 4, 5 months learning first base and getting better. And then in September, call him up. You've got depth. You got a bat. I just wouldn't start his clock because he's exploded out of the gates. Like, let me give you his stats the last couple of years. 2016, he played in 16 games. He had one home run, four RBIs, and a 974 OPS. That's respectable. He's always hit well. His averages over the years, 341, 304, 293, and 410 this year. So his averages have been really good. I mean, in the game, he played 90 games in year two in 2017, 12 home runs, 69 RBIs, 859 OPS. That's good.
That was what, A ball?
That was A ball and double A.
Okay.
No, that was A ball and an advanced A ball. And then last year, or in 2018, excuse me, he got moved to double A. And in double A, in 43 games, he had 12 home runs, 46 RBIs, and a 1.005 OPS. That's stout. Mm-hmm. But when he jumped to triple A, those numbers went down. He had 8 home runs and 28 RBIs in as many games. So his numbers dipped in half when he got moved up to AAA. Guess what? That's going to happen again when he gets moved up. Yeah. Unless you let him get more seasoning. Because now that he's seen a year of AAA, he's knocking the cover off.
And the numbers, I mean, look, from a popularity standpoint and everybody jumping on board, all Astros fans are clamoring to see this kid. But when you talk about the experts across the country and you talk about the people at Scout Baseball, it's still kind of a crapshoot up in the air about how he's going to pan out on the major league level. Yeah. So you're absolutely right. And again, if this team was struggling, Or if they were a middle of the road team or a rebuilding team, you could see and make a case where this is, goes back to when Springer, when everybody was saying they were watching more OKC 89er games than they were the Astros because Springer was the guy and they had to bring him up. Yeah. That's because the Astros were horrible.
Yeah.
They're not horrible right now, so you don't have, there's no rush.
Yep. Yeah, you know, like Springer, his last 2 years in the minors, he had a 1.01 OPS and a 1.10 OPS. And then when he gets to the majors, that dips to an 8. He's got an 804, 813. Like now he's this year, his OPS is off the charts, obviously. But, I mean, it takes some time to get adjusted. And why start the clock on a guy when you could have more right. time to get him seasoned? You know, if you want to move on from Josh Reddick next year, cool. Maybe now you do that. But he's a left fielder. If you didn't sign Michael Brantley and Aledmys Diaz was your left fielder, I would be like, you got to do this right now.
Yeah, God forbid, but if Springer in a couple years decides to leave or whatever like that, now you've got a guy waiting in the wings that you haven't had to bring along too quickly. And
yeah, I just would not start the arbitration clock on this kid if you think he's going to be a stud superstar right now when you don't need him and all he's going to do is DH? No.
But
I would not do that.
As much credit as we give Jeff Luhnow and his staff for mm-hmm. rebuilding the farm system and getting a lot of talent in it, the bottom line is when they identify who their next big thing is, those big things haven't really panned out, and we've highlighted that in the last couple of years.
I just gave you six options. Three did and three didn't.
Tucker, jury's still out.
Right. The three that didn't pan out that they thought were, that came up and showed flashes and then fizzled was Derek Fisher, Kyle Tucker, and Tyler White.
And Martez.
Those three guys. I'm just talking batters. Okay. I'm just talking,
I was just talking about prospects.
Pitching is a
overall.
Lot harder to predict, I think. But yeah, so those three. Now, on the flip side, you had Springer, Correa, and Bregman, who all panned out.
What about the guy they traded to the Mets, too? A.J. Reed. There was another guy.
Yeah, that was
for a while.
But see,
there,
those are just
there.
Guys that flourished against minor league pitching. It's a lot different when you're facing a major league pitcher every at bat, as opposed to a guy
veterans yeah. that know the zone and how to get people out.
So that's what I'm saying. I would like to see this kid kind of do a little bit more in the minors at high at AAA, and can he sustain a .410 average and a 1.4 OPS for most of the season? Can he continue to hit a home run every other game? Yeah, for the season.
See Vlad Guerrero Jr. and just realize
exactly.
how big of a difference it is.
So why start the clock on that now? That doesn't, you know, I don't know. But that's just me.
I'm with you.
You don't need it. That's the problem. You really don't need it. If yeah. Tyler White was making you lose games because of his deficiencies
and
at
I'm
the plate.
I'm still okay with sending him down.
Me too.
Okay.
But bring up a guy that's already been up, that like a Tucker or a Fisher or somebody else that's right. getting some run down there. I wouldn't start the clock on Yordan Alvarez just
I'm
yet.
With you. There you go. All right, we're just rolling through hour number two. Lots more to get to, but if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. We are here for you because you are here for us. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I know part of my problem is that I'm lazy. Do you guys have lazy? Yeah, I thought so. I have items on my to-do list that I haven't even completed from 3 years ago. I know. So I just decided to merge my to-do list with my bucket list. I've always wanted to go skydiving and get my license renewed before I die. So hard. I don't know. But I am trying to do that minimalist movement. You guys know about that? Yeah, it's like this whole movement where you're supposed to throw away stuff that you don't need anymore. So I've just been doing that. It's quite liberating. After a while, I was like, what else of my husband's stuff can I throw out? It's really easy. If you don't know how to do it, you just like pick up one of his objects. And then you ask yourself, does this bring me joy? And it never does. So now he's a minimalist. I'm still hoarding, but like he's doing amazing.
Hey, that's our comedian of the week on an FEF Friday. F for funny, Sarah Tolemesh.
Ah, good for you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Last comic standing, Adam Devine's house party. Barry gave all the backstory. Was on The Late Show with James Corden this week.
Yeah, it was earlier, like 3 days ago, 4 days ago.
Very cool.
Yep. So
we got one more clip coming up from her at 3:15. But if you want to follow her at S Tolemache, and Barry gave you the spelling earlier, it's T O L L E M A C H E. So S T O L L E M A C H E, and you can follow her on Twitter.
Or you can just go to ESPN 975's Twitter account and get it from there.
Or you might kiss my ass. So
why are you?
I was just trying to give you know. We have people that sometimes needed to have spelled out for them.
Yeah, but if they're driving, they're like, later I'll just go to ESPN's account and see it there.
You know the way our listeners do it. That's not going to stop them.
Okay.
I want to get your comments on this.
Okay.
So I was looking for stuff for the show today, and I stumbled upon this, and it was very interesting to me, but just bizarre, and you may even know the guy. Ahmed Ahmed.
Okay.
All right. Comedian was doing a show in Florida. Right. And during the show, he started to pull the crowd and made a Middle Eastern joke, to which someone in the crowd called 911 and said that they were offended and basically wanted to make a big deal of it.
He's Middle Eastern. He can say that.
So he said he performed at Off the Hook Comedy Club in Naples, Florida on May 12th. The following day, a man who said he attended the show called 911 and complained about when Ahmed asked the audience who was from the Middle East. He said a whole bunch of people raised their hand, and according to the 911 call released by the Collier County Sheriff's Office, and he said, "Where are you from?" "I'm from Iraq. I'm from Iran. I'm from Pakistan. I'm from here. I'm from there." He said, "That's great. We could all organize our own little terrorist organization." And he said, by the way, that he was misquoted on that. But for the record, the caller misquoted my joke. He said, "But we can start our own terrorist or I never said we can start our own terrorist organization." But nonetheless, you call 911?
It's not even. Yeah, I don't think that he would say that because that's not even funny.
He was at a comedy club.
Yeah, I think what the joke was is that he goes, "Boy, there's a lot of us in here tonight, you know."
And he's
comedians. I mean, it was like, duh. Like, that's what he said the joke was, or that's what the club owner said the joke was, that the guy misconstrued it. Let's be real. This is somebody that has a red hat that is being overly sensitive. You know what? Those type of people need to not go to comedy clubs.
He should never go to his performance, because let me tell you something. Ahmed, that's a huge portion of his bits. Like,
yeah.
It's like 50% Middle Eastern jokes.
This
Get
is
over.
A guy, when you see, if you're that... because I don't want to make assumptions. If you're that sensitive to Middle Eastern people making comments, maybe don't go to the comedy show of a guy named Ahmed Ahmed. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't go, you know what? I'm going to go. And you know what? I don't have any problems with these folks. And then you get there and you're like, wait a minute. I am calling the law. Like, I don't understand why anyone takes anything serious in a comedy club. I just don't. Now, it's different when, what's his name from the Seinfeld? Kramer.
Oh, Michael.
When he started yelling out the N-word. That's a little different.
Right.
But if you're making fun of your own people, or you're making those, everyone gets up there and says something about their race. Everyone gets up there and says something about their own weight, their own race, their own looks, their own, that's fine. The line is, you can't, like, you know, get up there and, if you're a white dude, say the N-word. If you're a white dude and use any kind of racial derogatory, you know, names, or if you're any dude, not just white comedians, any comedian, can't do that. But if you're going to make fun of your own people, that's comedy. That's what we do. Like, I just don't understand and then to call 911.
Like, it's some sort of emergency.
That's a whole different thing. Like, people that are that sensitive probably shouldn't go to a comedy club. But why aren't you calling 911?
The day after, too.
Yeah.
Not like, even when, thank God, because there might have been other emergencies.
Was it the day after, really?
It said the day after.
Oh, my God. Like, you're using valuable resources for life and death situations because you can't handle it that a Middle Eastern guy made some jokes about Middle Eastern people.
It says right here, the following day, a man who said he attended the show called 911 and complained. So maybe you don't know how the system works and what 911 is really used for. It's not like Craigslist or something like that. Or like we said, when you call for the weather, you just don't just dial 911 and go, "Hey, this really ticked me off last night." It's a sense of urgency. And it really like you is. Said, you know, the thing is that the club owner was surprised by it. The fact of the matter is, you know, obviously the club owner is not displeased with Ahmed at all. He's having him back. They're going to do more shows. But, you know, he said when they were talking about the whole thing, and he said the police actually questioned him about the incident. And the owner even said, don't change your set. Don't change your jokes. And even the officers told him that. And they were very polite. But even they, I mean, you got to go out, I guess.
Yeah, now you're, it's just dumb. If you're that sensitive, don't go to comedy shows. Like, comedy shows, don't go there. That's not your thing.
And even Ahmed Ahmed said, he stayed for the whole show. If it really ticked him off, should have got up and left right then and there.
Yeah.
There's
just,
your statement.
Just walk out. Exactly.
If, oh you, my if God. You have call a you can't cross the line day. Mentality at a comedy place, then you shouldn't go to a comic place at all. Like, you shouldn't go. Like, if you're a type of person that's going to say this guy's going too far,
yeah.
then you shouldn't go. You yeah. shouldn't go.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. I don't know.
I'm with you.
By the way, there's apparently that we have scouts listening to the show because they're telling me how wrong I am on Yordan Alvarez and sending me scouting reports. Good for you, dude. Like, okay. He's like, oh, you're wrong. He's actually played a lot of first base. I pretty much just said Chandler Rome mentioned that he's starting to
Jake
get reps.
Kaplan said the same thing.
And the fact that if you look at his whatever, if you check out his minor league baseball profile, left field. So I just told you that he was getting reps at first and saved the whole, oh, he's got just bro. Okay.
And Michael Richards.
Good Lord. Everybody. Huh?
Michael Richards was Kramer.
Michael Richards. That's there what it is. So 28-31, I don't need the scouting reports, man. I wouldn't start his clock. Period. End of story. Period.
There you have it. Hey, before we head to the break, I do want to tell you, if you're planning a vacation, a trip, jeez. Maybe around Memorial Day, or you got something other planned for business and or pleasure and family, and you're looking for the best hotel rate that you can possibly find, I'll tell you where to go, besthotelrates.com. Why do I tell you that? Well, because besthotelrates.com has negotiated special rates with over 600,000 hotels worldwide, and they extend these discounts to you. All you got to do is go to besthotelrates.com. You plug in your destination, your dates of travel, and just like that, you're looking at discounted rates for many of the hotels that you probably have stayed for in the past and were considering staying at again. Only the kicker is this time you won't pay as much money. You save your money, you book your hotels through besthotelrates.com, and their customer service is fantastic. They back up your reservation. They make sure the places you're staying at are safe and secure, and they do all the work for you. All you do is follow the name, besthotelrates.com, and you can start planning your next trip today. It's in the name, besthotelrates.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go on an FYF Friday. We still got the second half of the show for you and yours and everything that you got going heading into the weekend. Hopefully you take us all the way to 4 and then take the Blitz all the way to 7. They're at Sam Houston Race Park tonight. So if you are out in that area and you want to get some free tips from Fred and hang out with the guys, head on over to Sam Houston Race Park.
Do it.
There you go. By the way, did you realize that Incubus is having a fall tour celebrating their 20th year anniversary of their breakthrough third album, Make Yourself?
You don't say.
Yeah, entitled The 20 Years of Make Yourself and Beyond, the 2019 tour coming to the Revention Music Center Sunday, November the 24th. ESPN 97.5 wants you to plan ahead and be able to have tickets to the show. So therefore, 713-780-3776, caller number 12 gets to go. 713-780-ESPN, you get tickets to see Incubus in November. Good luck. If you don't win the tickets, you can also buy them at livenation.com. There you have that.
There you have it. All right, Sean wants to talk Yordan Alvarez. If Sean's going to give us a scouting report, I'm going to hang myself live on the show. Sean, what's up?
No scouting report. I agree with everything that you said with one exception. And the only reason why you would call him up is if he shows anything above what you think he would. The one thing that you would say is a hole in the team is starting pitcher. So that just makes it that much more of an attractive bargaining chip for some starter, because they'll say, we absolutely have to have this guy because he raked at the major league level now too.
So you're just saying you would bring him up to use him as a trade piece?
Well, I mean,
is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't, but I wouldn't. My point, I agree with everything that you said. The only reason why I would imagine that they would do that is if they say we're in win now mode.
Gotcha.
We've got a 36-year-old ace. You know, we need to add somebody else. You know, Garrett Cole's been hot and cold. We need one more starter. Then that may be the one piece that you can sit there and showcase that you can part with that will get you that one big difference maker on the rotation.
Okay. Yeah, appreciate the call.
Thanks, Sean.
I mean, I don't know that they would necessarily do that, but I see the logic in what he's saying in that, look, if a team's going to want to trade for this kid, they might want to see what he can do at a major league level. Especially now, I will say this, we are in the era where even with the Astros, and they were one of the last teams to do it, but we are in the era now where you see guys in the majors after 1 or 2 years in the minors. And so teams want, I mean, the clock on these kids gets started a lot earlier than normal. Used to be 26, 27, 28 before a kid comes up. He's 21, and he's a long way from being in his, you know, what he should be at peak age-wise.
Here's why I disagree with Sean, though.
Okay.
Because of the fact that we heard about Derek Fisher. And he was a can't miss, and he was the hyped up guy, and even Kyle Tucker. And then you bring him up, and they struggle, and suddenly the value goes down.
That's a good point.
Suddenly, you can't hide your hand anymore, and you're not sitting on one of the top prospects in baseball. You're sitting on a guy that may not have it like they thought and starts sliding down the top 100 amateurs.
And isn't that that's the whole deal, right? Like, if you think about that, you bring up a Derek Fisher and a Kyle Tucker, and they flop. And then you're like, well, now what? No one wants – we're not going to get the value that we would have got if we had left them in the minors and they put up great numbers. Mm-hmm. Now against major league pitching, they've proven that they struggle. So you're right. If you bring him up and he does flop or he does struggle, you've lost the value. And if he comes up and he excels, you're probably not trading him. Because you're like, well, Josh Reddick is getting older. Springer might be gone. This could be one of our outfielders of the future, so why would we trade a guy that we think could replace number for number a guy like George Springer? Or maybe even hit better. Why at that point, we can sign an ace. We could sign a guy that's going to be, you know, on the free agent market. But this might be, you know, this might prove him. This kid, the numbers he put up, he might be better than George Springer. Would you trade that?
No.
So then it becomes that's why I say right now there's nothing wrong. There was absolutely no problem with leaving him in the minors and letting him get seasoning and seeing if he can sustain this, which I guarantee you he can't. He won't sustain these numbers.
I'm with you with that. Because, again, and no one can. I'm sorry. And you look at it, no one's hitting 400 in baseball. You know, look at what Ted Williams was the last guy to do it. And look at how long that's been.
Yeah.
So it's just not going to happen.
Not happening.
So get that through your heads. But, hey, look, it's a hell of a fun thing to keep an eye on because he's in your system and you know he can help you in one of two ways. He can, like you said, be developed into being the next kind of big thing. Yeah. Or he can be used as a chip if, like Sean said, you're looking to try and get another starter or something around with the pitching staff near the trade deadline. So interesting to keep an eye on that. But, again, it's a good position to be in because you know you still got prospects and the pitching prospects too are fantastic. I mean, look, if you get the next Corbin Martin, Corbin Martin's panning out early after one start, and you hope he continues. But you also know that Bukauskas and Forrest Whitley are down there too. So it's not like you're hurting on the pitching front either. So if Corbin Martin works out and you didn't have to make a trade, before you go kicking the tires on some veteran with a big contract, you got two more guys down there.
Yeah. I tell you who's doing some things, Seth Beer. Also a kid that's doing some things. So
they only drafted him a few years ago.
Yeah.
In the first round.
And he's already advancing. So, this is they're still in good shape. You would think after all of this promotions and trades and everything that this farm system would be depleted. But you've got Alvarez. Martin's been called up. You mentioned Whitley and Bukauskas. And Seth Beer has been, I think, a pleasant surprise for people early on, too. So. And there's guys that they've brought up, you know, with Perez and some of these other cats you mentioned. Miles Straw is a guy that I think he's like the perfect September call-up every year because you just like, hey, that's an instant stolen base.
Wheels.
I really thought that he had a chance to make this team of spring.
But you know why he didn't?
Because you already have Jake Mariznick.
Well, and
you
don't need Kemp's out of options.
Yeah.
And Tyler White's out of options too. So you've got to make sure that you don't just let guys walk that could go to another system or end up being picked up by a team and you lose them. And you know they're valuable. And Kemp is obviously very valuable. So you have to weigh that into the equation as well. And that's why with the Astros being in the position that they're in, they should be in no hurry to jump quickly on anything.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why Miles Straw probably isn't up, because you can see what happens with Jake Marisnyk over the next year or two, and you've got his built-in replacement, who is a guy that comes in, steals bases, and is your defensive. Miles Straw defensively?
Oh, he's good.
We're just going to go with two outfielders. Like, that dude is so fast. He covers so much ground. It's ridiculous.
Who would think, though, too? Because, again, if you think that Alvarez is the guy and you got to bring him up right away, then you probably also think that, you know, when you look at everything that they're doing and have done, that when you – I lost my train of thought.
That's all right. Look, I was looking at numbers for Tyler White, and here's the thing. This is what you got to be careful of. Before he got called up in 2015, he was at AA and then AAA. And he had a 1.026 OPS in AAA that year. 7 home runs, 59 RBIs in 57 games, hit .362. You look at that and go, this guy is the next first baseman for the Houston Astros.
Yeah, I got you. That's what I was going to say.
So this is why you've got to be really careful with these guys. This is all a guessing game with prospects. The guys that it's a roll of the dice, man. All these cats are a roll of the dice. I don't care who you think is a can't miss.
That's what I was going to say. And if you believe these numbers with Alvarez, then you also believe that Jake Marisnyk's eventually going to be your designated hitter or, you know, have a prominent role, because he's hitting the ball well right now. But we always say, these guys, the numbers don't lie. They're going to return to the mean. So, progress. You know, So the thing is, just like Marwin Gonzalez, and you look at his numbers this year, and you look at all the guys we've talked about, and the fact of the matter is, hey, it's fantastic that Jake isn't just a defensive replacement right now. But over the course of 162 games, mm-hmm. I would bet he's pretty close to his career average.
Yeah.
So
I would believe that.
So there you have that. Nick, you doing all right in there? Just making sure you're with us.
Doing well.
Okay, good. Comedian.
Still here.
That's good. Always good to know that. I also was going to throw this out for you guys. I don't know if you saw this or not. Most bizarre thing ever. But this dude tattooed a soccer jersey over his entire torso.
What?
Yeah. So instead of just like getting a tattoo, he had a tattoo artist.
Like he did a picture of it?
Yep. No, he just, his whole torso is now a jersey. It looks like he's wearing a rugby shirt and he has no shirt on.
Wow.
I don't get that. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I saw the other day, like, this guy that has a massive Rockets tattoo on his neck. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself, it may not happen here, but what if, you know, it's like a Seattle Supersonic situation, or if a team moves cities? You're regretting that tattoo.
Logos change, team colors change. I hope to God that whatever team that is decides to change their colors and go in a new direction.
It is the,
and
it
now
is,
your dumbass has an entire upper body of something that doesn't exist anymore. And what rugby jersey have you ever seen with nipples on it? That just doesn't even make sense.
It's odd to look at, too. But yeah, it's the Brazilian soccer club Flamengo.
Stupid ass. Like, what?
Why? And the guy's 33 years old, and he's got a family, and he's going to go around the rest of his life, and then imagine.
Now he's going to get fat.
If he is exactly right.
He's going to get fat, and then everything's going to sag, and he's going to go from a jersey to a nightgown. And he's going to look like he's got on, like, a half shirt, or, like, not a half shirt, but, like, a dress. Like, bro, that's a huge mistake. That's why I didn't get a tattoo. I'm not in good enough shape for tattoos. I feel like you have to have a certain level of fitness to wear a tattoo.
See stretch marks in people's tattoos. Yeah.
You can't.
I've never really seen that. Does that happen?
No, let me tell you who doesn't look good. Fat guys with tattoos. That's not a good look. I don't know. I'm out. I don't want my tattoo to grow over the years with me. I can't.
It's like, for me, as much as I love the Packers, there's no way. Like, I always go back to the 30 for 30 they did for Edgerrin James when he was big with the Colts. And they go back to Miami with him, and they recap his high school career, everything like that. They show this dude on the street, and he's like, man, Edge has been my guy. He's been my guy forever, man. I love this dude. We're tight. We're close. He goes, look at this. Takes off his shirt. His entire back is the back of an Edgerrin James jersey with the James nameplate and the 32 and all the different things. And then they find Edgerrin on his boat, and he goes, man, I don't know who that dude is.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, and he's got a full-blown, full-back tattoo of your jersey.
Oh, see?
Or like bad. Zion the other night. There were Knicks fans. There was a Knicks fan that actually, before the draft, got the Knicks logo, instead of it saying Knicks, said Zion with their logo and tattooed it on himself.
God, I hope they trade the pick.
Me too.
Oh, my God.
It was the Knicks. It was the Knicks. So the Knicks didn't get it. So he got it before the draft, assuming that the Knicks were going to get the number one pick Zion. So he made the logo.
Pelicans did. What was I thinking?
Yeah.
What?
So he makes the logo with the basketball and the letters, only it says Zion instead of Knicks. And then he goes to the Pelicans. It's like, you dumbass. You deserve that.
Oh, my God. That's even better. I thought you meant the Pelicans. Oh, that is amazing.
Yeah.
People, I think you should have to take a test before you get a tattoo.
Me too. I agree.
Just a basic skills test to see, like, I don't know, maybe if you fall on the spectrum and like, maybe you wait. You would be the guy that would get a Knicks tattoo that says Zion before the lottery is decided. Or you would get a full jersey on your body. I'm not anti-tattoo. I want people to know that. I am not anti-tattoo. I'm anti-idiot. You got to be smart if you get a tattoo. There's some things I don't think you should do. I don't even mind face. Like, for a while, I was like, ooh, face tattoos, neck tattoos. That's weird. Those don't even bother me anymore. I'm like, okay, we have to evolve as a people, and I get it. But I'm more opposed to, like, fat guys with tattoos.
Bam Bam Bigelow had a tattoo.
And he was fat.
He was a big guy.
Yeah, and those tattoos didn't look good.
I tweeted out this story, by the way. There's a whole story. The dude's wife goes along with it. I'm like, can you imagine that? They're getting it on, and they got kids and everything like that. And every single time, the role play is, I'm your soccer player, babe.
Is it rugby or soccer?
It's a soccer club in Brazil.
Oh, my God.
Flamingo.
That's just weird. Why don't you get a Bucks tank top tattooed?
No Packers, Bucks. No, I'm good.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not. You know, I'm anti-tattoos.
Yeah, I don't know why you're anti-tattoo.
I just don't care for
it. I'm anti-dumb tattoo.
The only one I would consider getting is on my ring finger, just get Lisa around my face, because I hate wearing the ring.
I get a tattoo of Kenneth Faried on my chest.
What about the Greek?
He's ripped right there on top of the
number. You know what you should do is you should get Kenneth Faried's chest tattooed on your chest. Just take a picture of him in the locker room and then have them tattoo his abs and his hair and all that. And then you could have Kenneth Reed's chest on your chest.
Bill Orell will come up to me. Is that Nene? No, it's not, bro.
And be like, y'all were, hugging
Kenneth
the whole time.
Kenneth Reed in a rock, anything with the Rockets logo and Kenneth Reed, because then when he's playing with another team next year, it'll look
good.
What? Now, hold on. Now, we just got through talking about, do we have to go to break? I have questions about your choice in tattoos and on the other side.
Okay, fine.
I have questions about this.
All right, I didn't say I'd do it either, but I'd say...
You just said if you would do it, Joel.
If I ever got one, that's what I would do.
So you just said you would do it.
We'll carry on with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're rolling through hour number two, 3-hour show. We're hot! Usual Suspects.
Dropped an F-bomb literally a half a second before I turned his mic on. Literally a half a second.
You can't take Joel anywhere.
Yeah, Joel.
Nick and I both, I looked at the console going, please, for everyone's sake, let that light be not blue.
Barely. I almost turned his mic on, and he was like, F this and F these people.
I mean, all right, I'll say why even. I don't care.
Sure, yeah, why wouldn't you?
I was ranting because I feel like no one in this market, for the most part, I shouldn't say everyone. Most people in radio specifically, but we can talk about other forms of media and listeners, are lazy. No one really formulates their own opinions and their own takes. I'm not suggesting that two people may not have a similar take, but I feel like most people just, okay, what's the consensus? And then that's what I'm going with. because it's easy. It's not a chance. Like, me saying they shouldn't call up Yordan Alvarez, I feel like I'm like the pariah of Houston sports media right now, because everyone else is like, get him up here. And I'm the only one that's thinking maybe we shouldn't see him yet. And people are, you know, giving me grief on the text line. It's like, one guy was the scouting report guy is like, oh, well, technically his scouting report, they said his bat's a lot less can't miss than Tucker because of Tucker's swing plane. You didn't come up with any of that. You copied and pasted that. Unless you're the scout that wrote it, I don't want to hear from you because you're lazy. You can't watch. I mean, watch it yourself and come up with your own opinion is my point. Stop copying and pasting stuff. And not just like listeners and stuff. I'm talking like radio people too. It's bad.
Come on, son.
That's what I was ranting about. Now, back to Joel's tattoo.
All right. Yeah, because people are chiming in on that, too.
Are they?
Yeah, go ahead.
What'd they say?
Joel's anti-tattoo, but if he's going to get one, he gets the dumbest one in the history of anybody picking tattoos.
Courtney came in and punked him, too.
No, not Courtney.
She punked him?
No, Hip Hop Hercules on Twitter decided to join.
Oh, Hip Hop Hercules made you mad.
And Courtney came in here, and I said, look, I can't speak for anybody else, but if I have confidence in my own marriage, and I know where we're at. By the way, we have another kid on the way, so I think things are okay.
Oh, there are plenty of people that divorce with two kids. I'm not raining on the parade by any stretch. And I'm with you. Me and Nora are forever. I'm not putting her name on my body. I love her to death. She's my soulmate. Ride or die. From now till eternity. But, dude, we just got through talking about like stuff you might regret. If you put her name... Mm-hmm. No,
on your finger. So for those who are
you know that you give up the ring.
Tattoo removal. You can do other things if it doesn't go right. Look at how many people have done tattoo removal with some pretty asinine and idiotic choices on tattoos.
Like so putting other people's names on your body,
on your
your mom or dad or family. I get because you can't divorce your family.
Okay, well I can't speak for others, but just like you just said, you and Nora forever. Well, me and Lisa are too. I have no doubt about that. So I would have no problem putting that on my finger.
Hmm. Courtney came in and said that's bad karma. That's bad luck. If you tattoo your wife's name on the finger, then you're eventually going to get a divorce. Is what Courtney said.
What research is she? What science? What's the science behind that?
She's getting married. She knows what she's talking about.
She's getting married.
That's a fact.
I'm on my second one, so I feel like I have a little more experience. I've been married for the most part since I was 21. I'm 44. I feel like I have a little more experience in this. I would say it's... God. What?
I couldn't imagine being married at 21.
I would have been a complete idiot.
Yeah, I would have been.
Well, that's awful. Why I'm on my second one.
I mean, he did say he knew he was going to divorce her at the wedding.
At the altar. Watching her walk down the aisle. They were like, isn't she beautiful? I'm like, when am I going to leave her? Man. It was not good.
That's the funniest thing ever. That in the drive through
weddings.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
I wouldn't put another person, not your daughter. Like if you put Taylor on your arm one of my favorite tattoos is when you'll see a dad, he'll get his kid's footprints tattooed. Like, you know, cause they'll do the little footprints for the birth certificate, the handprints and all that. And they'll get their footprint tattooed. I think that kind of stuff is really cool.
Yeah, that's cool. I think that's cool. I seen the, like, my brother for his kid, he had, like, the blood baby footprint on the scrub.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get one of those, Joel?
Yeah, I have my scrubs that have, they do it with ink.
Oh, with ink.
Yeah, okay. They can do it with ink, too. They do it in ink. And so Taylor's footprints are on the scrubs that I was wearing.
Yeah, that's what he was saying.
Yeah, but he said it's a blood footprint.
It was a blood print.
Blood?
Yeah.
Yeah, from a sanitary. What, they cut the baby? No, because there's so much.
Why would they cut the baby?
No,
where'd the blood come from?
From having the baby, dude. there's a whole lot of stuff that comes out.
There's a lot that comes out, bro.
Yeah, but you don't. They didn't clean the baby. They just.
It was just like something for him to remember. It's literally hanging in his room.
Like
you don't see like red blood. Like it's just like a
blood and placenta and birth fluid and whatever else comes out. Little poop. I don't know what happens, but clean the baby first, and then do the ink. That's what they did. Yeah. See?
And I have it on the scrubs that I wore in the operating.
Ghetto ass doctor's like, here, stamp. Like, what? he's still attached, man. Cut him loose first and, you know, tie it up and wash him a little. Ugh. Did you save the placenta from Taylor's birth?
I know that we saved several things for stem cell
got
research.
In a scrapbook somewhere?
Nope. Stem cell research.
Really?
Yeah. There's a way to do that because stem cells are becoming so.
How much did that cost? I bet that's expensive.
It wasn't that bad. But it's
give me
definitely
a ballpark.
Worth
give
doing
me a range.
We have experience.
More or less than $10,000.
Oh, less.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's just a storage. They're just storing it for you.
How do you know that they?
All I know is that our experience is because one of my best friends growing up has a special needs child, and they weren't going to have any more kids. They had one extra kid because they wanted to get the stem cells. What they're doing with stem cells right now, and I'm not going to bore people.
It's crazy.
But it is amazing how they can reverse a lot of medical issues.
Dude, I was just talking to Barry about it. I'm all over that.
Yep. I'm just like, I don't know if I would trust that. Like, can I keep it in the freezer or something? Because I don't.
You going to get a couple of steaks and check on your stem cells?
You have Taylor's stem cell, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But what if they like get it mixed up and then like she loses an arm, then they use the stem cells to grow back and they got mixed up, then she gets a black arm?
No, you can use other people's stem cells.
This too, yeah.
You end up with like a black arm.
You can use other people's. You're not supposed. It's illegal, but you're not. This, you can do it.
Some of it is, some of it isn't. So here's where we're at. What I didn't realize is I considered this to be like blood types, and you have to find the exact blood type match, like when you're doing organ transplants and things like that. That's not the case. So like if you're here in the United States and you want to get stem cells to help recovery in a medical issue, you can get stem cells from anybody, from any. Mother or babe, whatever, however they do it, okay? But if you want to take your stem cells, they can also take, they cannot do this in the United States yet, but they can take your stem cells, they can take some of them out, kind of like when Kobe did that whole knee regeneration thing in Germany. They can rejuvenate your stem cells, then reinsert them back into your body, and it can have amazing,
I totally want to do it. I totally want to try it.
Reaction.
Cool.
I have friends that are personally doing this, and they said, and obviously the one that's not legal here in the United States is Spendi, but they said because of all of the debilitating, life-threatening issues they had health-wise that have been reversed, it was worth every penny.
So if you ever watched the Joe Rogan podcast, he had Mel Gibson on, and Mel Gibson's father was like 92, could barely lift his arm up, could barely walk. He literally had to get him healthy enough just to travel to Panama to get this stem cell research. It improved his eyesight. He was able to raise his arm up. He wasn't just walking, he was like speed walking. Like his hip, that he had a bad hip replacement.
Yep.
It fixed basically everything.
Yeah,
MMA fighters have done it. Like, I want to try it. And he actually brought on the doctor that practices in Panama that does it.
Yeah, well, they do it in Mexico too.
Yeah.
And you can stay in Cancun comfortably. It's not painful. And the results, I can tell you about off the air too, but the results of the people that I know that did it, it's pretty amazing. So
cool.
There you go.
You might want to consider that old man Barry.
I don't need any of that.
You need a lot. You need a lot of help.
You need a tattoo on your ring finger. Just put Nora.
I love her. Not happening.
Okay. Just don't love her enough. Two in the books. 1 hour to go. We got 60 minutes of the big show on an F Yeah Friday. One clip left of our Comedian of the Week and a whole lot more right here on ESPN 97.5.